Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you. We have been sponsoring the Computer Society for a large number of years. Many times I was told to come and make a presentation. Unfortunately, I haven't had time. So today I'm very privileged to be here with you and then to go through some of the things that we are doing to ensure that ICT services in the country is available, accessible to every citizen of Papua New Guinea. I think it's, we want to know what we are doing as a regulator of the ICT services in the country. Up to yesterday, Une, our director of enforcement, licensing and enforcement, was supposed to do the presentation. Late yesterday, he mentioned it to me and I said, I think it would be an opportune time for me to come and address the society, and it's always good to hear it from the horse's mouth. And if there are any issues, I'll be here to lend you my ears and then take note of some of the issues you may have. If we are not doing things in the manner that you want to us to do. So basically, I will give you a background information of what we have done since NICTA was established in 2010. The NICTA regime, who we are, what we are, what we do, and what our role is in the sector. I'll give you the licensing regime that we have, the impact that is having on the market, the result of what you want to know, what the impact of the regulations are that's happening to the end users, the business community, and the consumers of the end. And of course, lastly, I will just go through some of the issues that we have been doing. I think you need to know what some of the regulatory tasks that we are undertaking, the end results of what we are doing, which is, of course, the main consideration, of course, is to ensure that there is access and affordability in the sector. Just by way of background, this is what the reform process that we have gone through in the sector. The main ones are in 1996. Those of you who are as old as I am, you would recall that we had PTC, which was the more like a government department. So PTC was corporatized in 1996, and three entities were established: Pentel as the technical regulator, the Telecom PNG as the service provider, and Post PNG. So the three activities of then PTC were separated, corporatized. In 2002, unfortunately, Pentel, the regulator, was established in 1996. Unfortunately, in 2002, we took a backward step when the World Bank came in to provide funding for the government. One of the reforms they wanted in the sector was to establish a sector-wide regulator, which resulted in the establishment of ICCC, Consumer and Competition Commission, and Pentel was the technical regulator. In 2007, of course, as you all know, the mobile market was opened up, full liberalization of the market. Two new licenses were issued, one to DCCL PNG and one to Greencom. Unfortunately, Greencom did not come on board. They sold their interest to GEMS of Hong Kong, and GEMS eventually became a partner of T-Mobile. So as part of the opening up liberalization of the sector, we had to do further reforms to the sector, and that resulted in amendments to the Act, and of course in 2009 there was full open liberalization of the market. Just to give you some indication of what the key objectives of the sector is, the main policy objectives of government in the ICT sector is to ensure that ICT services is available to every citizen and every business house in Papua New Guinea at the price that they can afford. That is the main underlying policy objectives of the government in the sector. And of course, by having that, that will secure social and economic development for an efficient ICT sector. And to do that, the government established an effective and sustainable competition regime in LICTA, and LICTA was established. The corresponding arrangement for the reform was to have a community service community service in place, and also the open competition in the market. So that's the LICTA regime. We came into effect on the 29th of October 2010. As I said, the whole policy objective is to have open competition in the sector. Related to that is to have institutional arrangements, the establishment of LICTA as the new ICT single regulator. So all the functions that were previously with ICCC and with Pentel were then transferred to LICTA. So it had a mandate to be a specific industry regulator for the ICT sector. Related, we also have one of the functions we have is wholesale access regime. That's mainly for the operators. And the Act allowed for the process to declare services in the market when there's a need for LICTA to intervene. And access regime is on pricing, general pricing principles. For retail regulation, the intention is that the operators between themselves are supposed to negotiate, agree on the price. We will only intervene in the event the operators do not agree. But as you will, when I go through some of the issues, some of the things that we are doing, you will note that unfortunately we have to intervene. Either because the operators are not cooperating between themselves, or one of the operators is a dominant player in the market. For example, Decision, as we all know, is a dominant player in the market. They control 90% of the market. So we have to make sure that there is no anti competitive behavior by Decision in the market. Universal access regime, this is mainly intended to ensure that ICT services goes beyond the current network. And we have a project that is starting, that's being funded by the World Bank, that is intended to ensure that access of ICT services is available to every citizen in the most remote part of the country. Whether he lives in the highlands or in the coastal, in the islands, he must have access to ICT services. And of course, the licensing regime that I will briefly go through. Since from the licensing, some of you are from the ISP, so you are fully familiar with the regime that we have. Previously, LICTA came into being established. Our licensing regime in the country was technology and service specific, meaning that for telecom, they had a carrier license to provide fixed service, a mobile license to provide a mobile license, a value added license to provide other services. And it was vertical and very restricted. And of course, since October 2009, we now have a new operator licensing regime. It's now technology and service neutral. So there's no limitations, provided that you have the right type of license. There's no limitations as to the type of service that you can provide. So there are three main categories of licenses that we issue. One is for content license. These are mainly for broadcasting, television, and also for mobile service. We are now issuing IPTV for content, IPTV. For applications license, this is the license that gives right to an operator to provide a subtype of service, whether it's internet service, voice service, And the network license is the license that gives the rights to the operator to install network facilities around the country. And it's, the licensing is structured in, a, in such a way that makes it easier for market entry. So if you want to come in and provide the service at the international level, we have an international gateway license. If you want to provide the service at the national level, or at the provincial level, or even at the village level. That's why it's segmented by the different markets. So it makes it easier for new entrants to come in, depending on the market they want to enter. So just to give you some idea on the number of licenses that we have issued over the last 24 months. These are the numbers now. Just for example, previously, Telecom as the monopoly had the only the one gateway license. Today we have 12 gateway licenses. For individual network licenses, previously up to 2007, as we all know. If you recall, in 2007, the sector was controlled by Telecom as a monopoly. The cost rating was very high, access was very poor, service standards was very poor. And that is here. And we had two regulators regulating the sector, ICCC and Pentel. The cost of regulations were very high. So just to give you an idea on the type of number of licenses we have, as I said, currently we have issued 12 gateway licenses, and these licenses give the rise to the operators. Many of the ISPs are included in there. We also have overseas companies, Pectel, Oceanic Broadband, Telstra, they have been issued licenses, they are included in there. There are two conditions to get a gateway license. One is we require the operator that they must have interception capabilities. If there is reason to believe that some illegal act is taking place, our security agencies, NIO police or defense force must have access to that network to intercept either voice or data traffic. So that's one of the conditions of a gateway license. For the second condition is the switch or the hub must be located in the country. We have to control the exchange of information from within the local hub. The hub must be located in the country. So for those companies that currently have hubs located in Australia, in Perth, or in Hong Kong, the condition is they must relocate that hub within a reasonable time period. And we are giving them 12 to 24 months. So just to be included in here is, as I said, new licenses we have issued for IPTV, for MMDS in Moresby, pay TV around the country. So there's going to be competition in the sector. The end result of this, of course, is that because these licenses were only issued during the last 12 to 18 months, the license holders are now currently installing their networks to enter the market. So the end result is that within the next 12 to 18 months, we should see more competition in the market. Cost must come down, quality of service should improve, and of course the consumer has a choice as to which operator he wants to go to. And when we have effective competition in the market, the cost has to come down. And our job in NICTA is basically to ensure that there is a level playing field. There is no anti-competitive behavior by any of the license holders, especially if that operator is a dominant the money. This classes of license are for operating licenses. And of course, to have a operating license to provide the service, you have must have access to spectrum resources. So the other type of licenses that we have is the radiocom licenses. And the operating license, as I said, is subject to availability of spectrum. For operating licenses, you can either have a spectrum license, an apparatus license, or a class license. Class license is for your own use. For example, mining companies, they want to provide ICT services in their own mining towns, they get this class of license. Between spectrum license and apparatus license, for those that want to have licenses issued for individual sites, like a research site, they will get a apparatus license. And for spectrum license, of course, this is for the main operators, and we have spectrum agreements with Telecom, DCCL, V-Mobile, with Hytron. Previously, we had an agreement with VHES services for the aeronautical spectrum. So these licenses are issued for those frequencies that are designated for spectrum licenses. If a particular spectrum band is designated for license, they must have a spectrum license. For apparatus licenses, is for those bands that are not designated for spectrum licenses. And the terms for the operator license and the radio communication license is 15 years. The intention, of course, is to allow the operator to recover a cost of investment over 15 years. Of course, with the option to renew after 15 years. So it's very hot. And just to give you some stats on the radio communication licenses that we have, these are the figures, the numbers that we have. And you can see this range is from maritime licenses for ships, which we also issue licenses to ensure that ships have radios on board for purposes of the SOLAS Convention for safety of life at sea. And these are recent licenses, radio dealers, corporate licenses. Just for your information, we in PNG, we were one of the first countries to issue a spectrum in the 700 meg for LTE. This is the next generation mobile broadband. So your mobile will now become the actual your laptop. So that's, we have issued 15 by 2 megs each to DCCL and to Telecom PNG. We are also now issuing spectrum in 1800 and also in 2100. And of course, one of the major complaints that we have from ISPs is that currently they are all using ISM bands. You talk to Campbell and the others. This is an unlicensed band. At the moment, that's why you see it. There's a lot of interference. They're all on the ISM band. They want to have access to license spectrum. The benefits of having one regulator are all specified. One, of course, is that it is now we are one SOC licensing authority for all licensing and regulatory matters. The cost of regulation has come down. Previously, the license holders were paying for two sets of licensing fees to ICCC and Pentel. Now they only pay one. And of course, for us, we have a code of conduct. When somebody comes in through the door, there we have a timely decision-making code of conduct. When somebody submits an application, he knows how long it should take for that license to be approved. If it goes any time beyond that, then we he has every reason to complain. And of course, number six, it has made it very easy now for anybody can apply for a license. Entry into the market is very, very easy. As I said earlier, you can either enter the market at different market segments, either at an international, national, provincial, or at the village level. And of course, the end result of that is that we have, especially for mobile service, we have seen an increase in subscriber numbers over the years. Just to give you an idea of what we, some of the things that we are doing, which will give you an understanding of some of the regulatory tasks, which hopefully should lead to a reduction in the cost of ICT services in the country. One of the first things that we did was to undertake a public inquiry into the retail service determination. If you recall, the on-net cost from DCCL is 99 kroner. If you are bringing from DCCL to another DCCL subscriber, the cost is 99 kroner. If you ring DCCL to be mobile, previously the cost was 1.79 kina. So there was a public inquiry that we did. You can see this on our website. The inquiry has proven that DCCL, which has 90% of the market, was engaged in some empty competitive behavior. So that's why we had to intervene. And the way we did that was to make a recommendation to the minister, and the minister will be allowed for a 40% variance to the between the on-net. So the prices came down from 1.79 to 1.38. Of course, in the Act, there's a regulatory, there's an appeal process. If a particular party is aggrieved by a recommendation from NITA, they can submit an appeal to the appeals panel. And the arbitrator is an international expert on ICT, and this is managed by the Finance Department. The decision of the appeals panel is that we should not have allowed that 40% discriminatory allowance. So we are still in the process of looking at that. The decision of the panel is that any variance must be on cost base. And that's, we are still in the process of reviewing that process. Mobile termination rates. This is the next study that we undertook. Just for your information, the mobile termination rates that was agreed between the operators was 26 kroner. Our view was that that 26 kroner is still very expensive. So we did a study, we did benchmarking of comparable countries in the world, in Asia, in the Caribbean, and our benchmarking result was that the cost should be between 11 and 17 kroner. So we issued a notification of deem access dispute in November 2012. Unfortunately, this is how we went to court to get a restraining order against us. We were going to proceed to make an interim determination between the indicative rates of 11 to 17. We have now allowed the parties to negotiate. I'm pleased to say that they have now concluded the negotiations. As of yesterday, they have advised us that both DCCL and Telecom and DCCL and B-Mobile have now agreed on this reduction in the MTR rates. We should see a reduction of up to 40% in the MDR. So the good thing is this is now going to happen, and we should see better reductions in the market in the cost of mobile rates as from 1st of July. We are having a board meeting on Friday, and we are going to approve the negotiated rates between the operators. For the ISPs, this is what wholesale regulation is one of the main problems that they've been complaining about over the years. Currently, we have two submarine cables connecting PNG, one at Ella Beach, and then one in the lake. Unfortunately, as we all know, Telecom PNG has not allowed access, so we did the study again through a public inquiry process, and we have proven that Telecom, similar to Digicel in the mobile market, Digicel is the middle player in the mobile market, Telecom is the middle player in the wholesale market, because they own the cables. Unfortunately, they have not been allowing access. We all know the cost of especially internet service in the country is very, very, very high. So that's the reason why we undertook this public inquiry. During the inquiry, we have proven that Telecom has been involved in discrimination. As we all know, Telecom is, there is no structural separation. Telecom is involved in the wholesale and the retail market. Because of that, Telecom has been using pricing as a deterrent to allow access on the cables. The end result, of course, is that utilization levels on the two cables have been very low. The one cable that lands in Ella Beach, because of technical problems, it's only has about half the capacity. But even allowing for that, utilization level is below 10%. Menang was put up in about 3 years ago at $20 million. For the last 3 years, they have not collected any customer out of Menang. And that is the utilization level out of Menang is very, very bad. The end result of this, of course, is that all the ISPs, all the operators are now going to the expensive satellite bandwidth. Because Telecom has not been allowing access on the cables, which is much faster, much cheaper, it's more capacity, and the country has been crying out for bandwidth for the last 10 years, and Telecom unfortunately has not been. So we have now, after the study, we have now made a recommendation to the minister. It's now the cable connectivity, including the access points, is now a declared service. This now means that Telecom cannot discriminate. So whatever they charge their retail arm, they must charge the same price to any of the ISPs or any access seeker. So the anti-discrimination comes in, it's specified here. And of course, the general pricing principles applies. The general pricing principles is based on cost and a reasonable rate of return. It allows Telecom to generate a reasonable rate of return. It must not charge anything over and above what it should charge. And for your information, DCCL has been having problems having access to the Medellin cable for the last 3 years. Within 1 week, when the minister made the determination, DCCL secured two STMs out of Medellin, so prices should come down. We understand that DCCL now is in the process of trying to renegotiate the contract ahead with O3P satellites for the satellite bandwidth, because now they have access to cheaper bandwidth on the cable. So the expectation is that After our inauguration, which only came in last month, there should be lower internet rates in the country, and that should flow on to the consumers. The other issue I want to raise is that when we made a recommendation to the minister last month, that same week, Digicel announced they were going to reduce their bandwidth by 70%. Unfortunately, the numbers don't add up. So we have put Telecom on notice to come and explain to us what they have done. And they haven't come to see us yet. And for Daytech and Outfront, they know what we are talking about. Because of the misinformation, the public notice, they have now reduced their rates to their customers. So some of them are now at the worst of. But Telecom, unfortunately, have their public announcement that they were going to reduce wholesale rates by 70%. For those of you who are in the industry, you know, unfortunately, that is not true. That's a total misinformation. And we have put them on notice that they must come in and explain themselves to us what they have done. The only reduction comes in if you use 100% utilization. And who in the world is going to stay up all night and have 100% utilization over 24 hours? So again, the expectation is that we are expecting costs to come down. There should be an uptake in the market, and eventually with all the new licenses we have issued. The new licenses that you have seen, some of them are for new ISPs. They are all installing in the country now, as we speak. So hopefully, within the next 4 months, apart from the current Global, Daytech, DataNet, Downfront, more will be coming. And the expectation, of course, is that price is to come down. Related to internet, I think this morning we heard that the cost of internet at the moment is very, very expensive. You only have to go to the plant desk here to use their services here. It's very expensive. So one of the reasons for that is that at the moment most of the calls are going out of the country, and the ISPs will tell you that. So we are now talking to DCCL and Telecom. They have exchange points capabilities within their network. They are not allowing the others to move. So we are going to make sure that internet exchange points are introduced and then hosted by Telecom and DCCL. At the moment, when you make that internet, it goes overseas and then comes back, even if you are sending it across the road. So by having an exchange point, then it becomes a clearing house. All the local traffic goes to the exchange. So the cost has to come down. By next end of the month, we are undertaking a public inquiry into further regulation in the wholesale market, mainly on infrastructure sharing and also on national roaming. At the moment, any operator has an obligation to roll out services. There's an obligation on the operators to roll out services to centers that are specified. The expectation, of course, is that it's very expensive, where we require operators to spend a lot of money putting out infrastructure, and where one operator has gone into areas that is the facility must be shared. We have evidence that up to now, when operators ask the other operators to have access to their facilities, they don't even have the courtesy of a response. And we have correspondence to show that they deny, they use all sorts of reasons that the towers cannot accommodate additional antennas. They are not strong. So we are issuing this discussion paper to see whether we can make it mandatory. That from the national perspective, we will expect all the operators to expend substantial amounts of money to rolling out network around the country. The end result of that is that the cost of ICT services are expensive. Where they can share, provided it is negotiated on commercial terms, then the cost must come down. Related to that, of course, is national roaming. At the moment, we all know that this area has 90% coverage. Some areas, you can only have access to this cell phone. If you are a T-Mobile customer, if you are in my village, for example, your T-Mobile phone is useless, you cannot use it. So we are looking at possibilities of whether I can use my T-Mobile phone to roam on the digital network. And the expectation is that the operators must come to a commercial agreement, and then we will make it. If the study proves that we will make it mandatory, we will make it mandatory and also allow for national roaming. As I said, this study is coming out. Our board should approve the discussion paper for public release on Friday. One thing I want to raise, I think we have a lot of learned people here in this room. We have been issuing a lot of discussion papers on some of the issues that I have gone through. Unfortunately, we are not getting any comments. So either you are ignorant or you don't know what the discussion paper is, because the public notices says that discussion papers are on our website, and we invite comments, especially from a wide variety of, especially users. Up to now, very, 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 very few comments. Either decision or telecom, few mobile comments, NARI comments, but from the ISPs, there's no comments. We don't know what's happening. And of course, from the end users, we want you to comment. So this particular public inquiry, the discussion paper, is going to be released after our board meeting on Friday. So I would encourage you that when you see the public notices in the print media, you make an effort to comment. Access it from our website, because in the end, it affects you as the user, as the customer of the ICT service. We have also started the process to bring in a compulsory SIM card registration. And also, we are developing a cybercrime policy and legislation. As we had heard from the speaker before me, the negative effects of ICT. There's a lot of abuse, there's a lot of misuse. Comments have been raised in Parliament where politicians have become victims themselves. They have raised the issues and they are now saying, oh, we have to make it address this issue. So we have now started that process. On Friday, our board will issue an approved discussion paper, and we are working on a policy and legislation to have some, not to control the use of ICT. I think once you start to use the word control, people will start saying, oh, you are going to imprint into rights, right to information. But there must be some control, and of course we know that this can only be done by public awareness to make sure that people know the proper use of ICT services. Of course, some of the ministers have complained that they are now receiving stupid SMSs and prank calls. There's been calls to control the use of social media. Unfortunately, it's very, very difficult for us to control it. because the ISP providers here only hosting your service. The actual providers are overseas. As you know, Facebook, Twitter, etc. are all based in the US. The guys here, the providers here only providing the service. So it's very difficult for us to control, but at least we have to minimize the effect. And of course, the biggest concern now is the issue that my colleague here raised, the negative effects on young children. Now they have access to undesirable sites. Of course, once we tell ISP to block on one site, the same site will come back the next day in a different way. So it's very difficult to control it. So we can only put in, make it an offense for misuse. And once people know that it's an offense, then hopefully that will be a deterrent. And people cannot abuse the ICT services, which we all know brings more benefits. But unfortunately, as we all know, there's a negative effect to that. For your information, we also control and administer the allocation of numbers, the number that you use in your mobile. We allocate that to the mobile operators. Currently, for mobile service, we have 10 million numbers. So you know that DCCL is using 70717273. So they have 4 million numbers. T-Mobile has 747576. They have 3 million numbers. And Telecom have 7778 and 79. Currently, we have about 3 million users, mobile users in the country. DCCL has run out of numbers. They have used their 3 million numbers, or 4 million numbers, sorry. The reason being that for inactive numbers, once they disconnect after 3 months or whatever time period, they cannot allocate it to somebody else, because that number is already being allocated to Mr. Joe Pro. Otherwise, once they connect it straight after, Joe Pro will start receiving all the calls not intended for him. So they allow for a time before they allocate that number. Then of course, they also need to place orders with their SIMs for new numbers. So DCCL has utilized their 4 million numbers, so they have come to us for one additional one block of 1 million numbers. We are talking to B-Mobile to allow them access on the 7-port, which they are not currently using. B-Mobile, as we all know, they have now entered into partnership with Vodafone. There's a very substantial rollout program that they have. They're going to go out into 600 sites in the country, so they want to have access to the same numbers. They don't want to allow DCCL their numbers. We have asked Telecom to allow them the 7-9, because at the moment Telecom is only using 7-7. Again, Telecom is saying, oh, we don't want to pick up our numbers. So the next best thing we are looking at is to bring in 9 digits, so that will allow for 100 million numbers in the country. Or alternatively, we bring in 8, and that will bring in 10 million more numbers into the country. At the same time, Telecom has requested to migrate their current fixed service numbers from 7 to 8, so that's part of the process we are in. As I said earlier, one of the main government policy objectives for the sector is to there must be access and to every citizen, either is a private citizen or a business entity. And of course, at the price they can afford. If you look at the government's Vision 2050, it provides some indicative numbers. For example, it says that by 2020, every citizen of Papua New Guinea must have access to an ICT service. So that's what we are. This project we are funding through with the World Bank, is intended to be a pilot where we are going to plan sites in the country. The tenders have come out. I think it was on the paper yesterday. You may have seen it in the paper. It's been the tenders came out from the central tenders board, where we are going to plan projects beyond the existing operators network. So, for example, between here and Mairu, between Mairu and Milinde, I think there's somewhere in between, there's no service. So this project, we are going to roll out that service for an initial pilot project. And then we have a mechanism in place in the Act where we impose a levy up to 2% that will fund the extension of services to every rural part of the country. There's a seminar currently underway at Lamana Hotel where we have industry consultation. We are now drafting the rules and regulation to make sure that this fund is introduced. After the 15 million in a pilot funding, loan funding from the bank, we are going to replicate that to all of the two projects around the country to be administered under LICTA. And there's a separate port in place for UAS port under LICTA with separate port members. And this fund will now, we are hoping that the project will start in the second, third quarter of this year. For your information, we have also released a draft broadband policy. Again, on this one, very, very disappointing to note that despite extensive public consultation, comments from interested members of the public, very, very, very few comments were received. Only comments received were from DCCEL. Telecom and B-Mobile, unfortunately, did not respond. We received comments from Telstra, from NARI, the National Research Institute. Again, I would encourage that when these discussion papers are being released, I would encourage that you please make it an effort to comment on them, because we want your input. The policy will address how we will ensure that there is uptake on broadband in the country, and we have established minimum broadband speed at 256. It's in the draft document. And again, as I said, very disappointing to know that there's no comments from people that we want to get comments from. And we are, there are action plans. It has to be a collaborative approach between government, all the stakeholders. We are only facilitating it. And the broadband policy actually addresses issues between major users for e-health, e-education, because at the moment, nobody knows how many schools we have in the country. Nobody knows how many health centers we have in the country. And there are applications that are now available that health departments will be using to ensure that the health services are available in, from, to e-health. For e-education, we acknowledge that we have to do it in collaboration with people who are selling computers, for example. Because at the moment, the literacy level in the country is very low. So we have to have more interaction with the Department of Education, make sure the people know how to use computers, so they can have access, use the broadband. Because for your information, at the moment we have, apart from the two cables, PNG Power has already installed a fiber from Menang up to Yongki. And for the LNG, the government has put in 50 million in this year's budget for the LNG fiber that's going up to Heights. And from Heights, there's a contract being released from to connect from Heights to Yongki. Also, Telecom has an option on Pipe 3, branch unit out of Alakau, and IPPC has already included that in the work, in the work program. So we will hope to have the country connected by fiber. Hopefully, there should be a domestic backbone put in place by 2017. For this one, I think you know that most of the developed countries, they've already migrated from analog to digital broadcasting. PNG, unfortunately, one of the latecomers. We have just received assistance from ITU and Korea, KCC, to migrate the digital television from analog to digital television. We are estimating a cut-off date by 2017. There's a cabinet that has already approved the submission, and the chairman of the task force in the country that will look at all the issues associated with migration. And then the intention is to, the main reason to migrate, of course, is we should have better quality television pictures, and also to pre-release the spectrum that is currently being used by analog broadcasting for mobile broadband, for digital dividend broadband. Although we are only 2 years old, we are already finding that there are a lot of loopholes in the Act that we operate. The Act was undertaken by consultants that were engaged by the government. So we are doing a review. The review is already complete for public consultation. And we should have that the review released in the third quarter of this year. Unfortunately, you can only, when you are doing things, you find out that there are loopholes, or there are inconsistencies, or there are certain areas that we need to address. As I said in my opening remarks, NICTA's job is to ensure that there is a level playing field, to ensure that there is effective competition in the market. We have to remove all regulatory impediments that are in the market to make sure there is effective competition, and that between the operators, they also behave in an acceptable manner. Last but not the least, we have also issued our corporate plan. Again, we invited comments from members of the public. Nobody commented. So maybe they don't want to know what we do. They have no understanding of what we are required to do. And the plan actually established our key result areas and key performance indicators. Just to give you an idea, we have aligned it, linked it to the government's Vision 2050 and the medium-term development strategy. For some of the rural areas, we are now putting in minimum delivery service penetration levels that need to be achieved by certain timelines. So we intend to have this launched in the third quarter of this year. And again, everything that we do in NICTA is all transparent. We are accountable. The Act emphasizes accountability and transparency. That's why most of the work that we do has to be done by public consultation. We have to get comments from the public. And unfortunately, as I said, most times we find that there's no comment, either people don't want to comment or they have no idea of what we are doing so. But we would like comments from you. Now that you know we do a lot of these things, we would encourage you to provide some comments too. When you see discussion papers being issued for comments from. So maybe I'll stop there. I think I've said a lot of things, so I'll stop there and then maybe allow time for any questions. But the topic of my discussion was the resultant effects. What we aim to see is between the next 12 to 18 months, especially now that we are issuing licenses. We also, at the same time, don't want to be known by issuing just paper licenses. So I've received instructions to UNE, who should be here back there, that they need to undertake an audit between now and the end of the year to make sure that people we have issued licenses are actually installing. Because we don't want people to use licenses and go and sell it to somebody else, but like what has happened in the past with the green home licenses. And for the spectrum licenses, there is a condition that we use it. It's a use it or lose it. there's a condition attached to the license. When we allocate the spectrum license to you, there's a timeline given. After that, if you don't use it, it comes back to you later. So now we want to also do that for some of the licenses that we have issued, or not paid licenses, that people don't come to us just to get paper licenses. They must actually use the licenses. So we have to make sure that our inspectors going around making sure that people are actually installing networks, and they have to update their, whatever they have specified in their applications, tell us when they want to introduce service. So the end result of everything that we are doing, of course, is that cost must come down. And ICT services must be accessible by everybody, whether a citizen or a business entity, that all parts of the country. And that's what we are doing. And we hope that this can be realized over the next 12 to 18 months. And of course, this has to be complemented by government. We want the government to invest in infrastructure, especially in the broadband rollout, and that's included in our broadband policy. We realize that you cannot expect the private sector to spend substantial amounts of money in putting in broadband network. Government has to do that. So we need to do that in partnership with government, and that's why the broadband policy includes a collaboration between the industry and the government, where the government has to allocate funding over the next 5 years to make sure infrastructure is put in now. Because that is the only way that the country can realize the full benefits and potential of ICT services. Thank you.